warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
And welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. I am Adam Inhan, sitting here, or standing here in studio with my co-host, Mr. David Niles.
We're both standing.
He decided to join me today in standing.
I thought you were going to sit.
We're going to reverse roles.
So I was going to flip the script. But
no, I've been standing in the last few episodes, and so it feels good. I get excited. I talk fast when I get excited, and I don't know, for some reason standing up just feels right.
Yeah.
So that's what I do. But okay. Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We have an awesome episode for you this evening. I'm super pumped about it. We're going to get a chance to check off many boxes this evening, because we are going to be able to talk to a black belt ninja, a world champion surfer, an author, a TV show host, a reality show superstar, the Bear Wozniak.
Man, as I was about to say, I don't know if we'll have time to talk to five people.
But all in one.
All embodied in one person.
So check all those off on the Catholic Man Show. We're going to do that today with Mr. Bear Wozniak. Bear, thank you so much for joining us today. I know you're a busy man. You are all over the place, but thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, you guys. I'm not going to be able to stand up like you guys are. In fact, I sat in my chair, and it's one of those adjustable chairs, and it just dropped about a foot and a half. So I'm kind of... So I guess I kind of stuck in this position for a while anyway, but
that's
anyway.
Okay. That's okay. But Bear, you have been all over the place. We have seen you all over Catholic media. You have a new book, A Way of Heroic Virtue. I advise everybody go check out your website, deepadventureradio.com. You have your new reality show. You collaborated with EWTN to have a new show called Long Ride Home. How do you sleep? Do you sleep at all, Bear?
Yeah, I know. Today I finally got back. I've just been on the road, because we actually have shot season two of Long Ride Home about 3 weeks ago.
Congratulations.
Even though season one hadn't even aired yet, we went out and shot season two because everything just seemed to line up just right. And then came back and then went on this whirlwind tour to EWTN and happened to get to Nashville right on the CMA Awards. Didn't even know we were going to be there for that, and did that. And then
did you get to go to the Grand Ole Opry?
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
Everybody was there. I mean, I'd never been to Nashville. Everyone was there, because I thought, wow, is this the way it is every night when I bought the tickets and I realized it's the CMA Awards? So that was pretty cool. And but got back. I got to spend a couple hours on the water today surfing. So I feel like I'm kind of finding myself again.
How was the surf?
It was glassy and non-existent. So I stand up paddle surf almost exclusively. Unless it's 18 foot or bigger, I stand up paddle surf. And today it was like 18 inches. But I just paddle. I just go for distance paddles. And it was just wonderful.
Sweet.
We really relaxed paddle, about a 3.5 mile kind of just cruise along the shoreline. And it was just nice, really peaceful, just great.
Well, Bear, you had us on your radio show, Deep Adventure Radio. Check it out on your website, deepadventure.com. What is it again, Bear?
Deepadventure.com will get you there.
There it is, Deep Adventure Radio.
It's deepadventureministries.com, but you can go deepadventure.com and it'll still get you there. Man, am I thirsty.
Yes.
Me too.
I'm so glad you said that. Because
reaching for my beer.
If this is your first time listening to the Catholic Man Show, we do three things every episode. We open, review, and enjoy a man beverage. We highlight a man gear, and we have the most manly discussion of all time on the radio. And we're going to do this right now. And this is a beer that Bear suggested to us. I've had it before, but Dave, I'll let you introduce it.
Okay, so this is a Kona Brewing product. This is their Fire Rock Pale Ale. And this is the first Kona beer that I've had. So I'm a novice when it comes to this, but
it's a real thing coming from that big island.
Yeah, so is this
from Kona, Hawaii?
Where we're going to be shooting our third season, by the way, the big island.
Sweet.
Oh, really?
Okay, so
that'll be cool.
Before I get going, I'm really thirsty, so let's cheers. We'll cheers and we'll keep talking about it. So we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Okole Maluna.
Okole Maluna.
Okole means bottom and Maluna means up, so
bottom up. So this is a delicious pale ale. Not super hoppy. We've talked to a lot of people who don't enjoy like very hoppy IPAs, and they kind of stand away from... Oh, they've gone too far? Yeah.
More is better, not always.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of hoppiness in this beer.
Yeah, and so it's a bright copper color, rich roasted malt taste. It does have a little bit of hop to it, but not overwhelmingly.
Sure. I mean, it's an IPA. You want
some hop. It's a pale ale. It's not India IPA.
You're right.
It's a dangerous beer, though.
Because it's so good?
My friends is sponsored by Kona Brewing, and he dropped one of his Kona Brewing signs on his toe and cut part of it off. So,
oh my God. Wow.
Dangerous, dangerous beer. Watch what you're doing.
So Bear, somebody who's listening to the Catholic Man Show for the first time, they may think, what are these guys doing drinking on air? And Bear, I think that you and I and Dave, we all have this same idea of that, you know, drinking is not intrinsically evil, and that the idea of self-mastery is a manly thing. That to promote the virtue of temperance is something that's easily talked about but not easily done. And so if we put that into action, which is in moderation of drinking, that just shows and showcases this virtue that all too often in this world is not done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking about that on the Sunrise Morning Show today, that the virtue of temperance has kind of lost its appeal because 100 years ago, the temperance union said no drinking.
Mm-hmm.
True temperance is, as you said, self-mastery and the ability to drink in moderation. Of course, there are some people that really just shouldn't drink at all.
Right.
Yep.
But for most of us, we should be able to enjoy a beverage. It's there for our enjoyment, but to do so in moderation. And that's the virtue of temperance.
Yeah, and you know, I'm glad you said that, because there really is a beauty to temperance. There are some people out there who overindulge in things like sweets. There are some people who eat so much sugar and candy and sweets that when they eat a strawberry, it doesn't even taste sweet to them. They have dulled their senses by a total lack of temperance. And I mean, this is just something with food, you know.
Good point. I mean, there's more people in abusing food than there is abusing alcohol. If people who are on the long ride home, I challenge them to go low carb almost from the moment they commit to be a cast member. To stop eating bad carbs, you know, the sugar carbs,
yeah.
Pasta, mm-hmm. breads, you know, too much fruit too. And of course, we get them on the fiber carbs and stuff. But I think part of the virtue of self-mastery, the biggest big deal is eating. And I have a big problem. I love comfort food, you know, but when I'm in my discipline, when I don't eat bad carbs, sugar carbs, I sleep better. I have more energy. I'm more alert. And weight starts falling off of me. So that, I think that's, if someone's going to challenge us drinking beer in moderation, we also ought to challenge, you know, what they're doing in terms of their, you know, what they're doing to fuel their bodies.
Absolutely. It really applies to every aspect of life. Mm-hmm. But I found that when you practice this moderation and you do drink a beer, you enjoy it more. Whereas if you're an alcoholic who just is drinking all the time, or someone who is just eating candy all the time, then when you go to eat something that is good, like a strawberry, it's delicious, you don't even taste the sweetness because you've just dulled your senses to the point where you need this high, crazy amount of...
Well, it's like the paradox that G.K. Chesterton was talking about, right? I mean...
I'm sure.
Which of his million paradoxes are you talking
about? Yeah, that's what I was kind of wondering about. It's like, you know, he had a lot of those.
It's basically like less is more.
Yes, yeah.
At times.
And so that's,
I'll tell you this: when I was 19, when I had my Saint Augustine moment and abandoned my life to God, and up until I gave my life to the Lord, I never even had a drink. I didn't feel like it was appropriate for me to drink at all. After becoming a Christian, I felt that I could, I felt the liberty to do that. Peace, righteousness, and peace have kissed. You know, there's that sense of being righteous, but there's a peacefulness about it. Being self-righteous isn't what works. It's abandoning yourself to God's will is what he wants.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. So that's why we drink on air, just to answer that question of before people start asking and thinking that this is crazy. That's why we drink on air.
When enjoyed appropriately, a good beer is like a good poem.
Aha, that's G.K. Chesterton said that. Probably was Tolkien or something. But by the way, should I tell them you guys are having, speaking of G.K. Chesterton, that you guys are having cigars right now? They just can't tell.
if I was having a cigar right now, my wife would not be happy because we were indoors.
You guys do the manly gear sometime about a good cigar cutter or a good humidor, I think.
Those are excellent man gear.
In fact, I'm surprised we have not done that yet. But
yeah.
I'm actually shocked.
I am too. Me too. To be honest. We will definitely have to do that. So we have about 1 minute-ish left. Barrett, just really quick, tell them how do they connect with you and what you have coming up.
They got to watch Long Ride Home. The best way for them to do that is to go to our website, deepadventure.com, and episodes 1 and 2 are available on our website right now. It airs EWTN 11 p.m. Sunday, 11 p.m. Eastern on Sundays, but they can go to EWTN YouTube channel, search Long Ride Home, and see it there too. Episodes 1, 2, and 3 are up on YouTube right now.
Perfect. Well, I want to thank Mr. Pete Sock for getting us lined up to this evening. When we get back, we're going to talk about the man gear. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, in studio with Adam Minahan. We are joined by the one and only Bear Wozniak, the manliest man with the manliest name I've ever heard in my life.
And that's saying a lot coming from the Catholic Man Show.
I know.
I want that. Can you guys put that in a certificate and send it to me?
Absolutely. It's in the mail. It's in the mail.
Hey, we got to talk about my Long Ride Home TV series. We got to clue people in on that. It's so manly.
Yeah, let's do it.
Bear, we are going to talk about it.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's talk about it real quick before we jump into the man gear. Bear, you are traveling all across the U.S. on a Harley with a bunch of guys evangelizing.
Well, we're all on different Harleys, actually.
Yes, that's a good clarification. Great clarification.
Season 1, we rode from Cocoa Beach, Florida to San Diego. A couple of us, Tony Orban and I, headed out from Cocoa Beach and headed up. We had to ride through a hurricane. We had to survive the hurricane first. And then basically what we were doing was replicating my bicycle ride. I pedaled from San Diego to Jacksonville, Florida 15 years earlier. We're doing it in reverse. And as we rode, we met up with different, you know, members of the Catholic Crossbearers Motorcycle Ministry. We did a biker rally in Houston. And then 6 of us rode into the Big Bend country, kind of went on a military campaign almost. It wasn't really a spiritual retreat. And then we rolled all the way over to San Diego. And then I rode by myself up to Monterey, where I was raised and where I felt first since probably at the age of about 12, the wonder of God, you know, the presence of God, and kind of began my quest. But, you know, and then we just shot season 2, going up to Allentown, New Jersey, then down the Blue Ridge Parkway and the Trail of the Dragon. And basically the same group of men, the men in the pursuit vehicles and the guys on bikes. I mean, we forged incredibly tight relationships and really got a sense of what it might have been for Jesus and the apostles. You know, they were a moving ministry. And everyone had fun. I mean, you should see what we do at a pit stop when we stop for gas. It's pretty, you know, one guy's gassing up 2 bikes, the other guy's going to the bathroom, and we're just, you know, there's just a, it's like a NASCAR race.
I am very curious what's running through the people's minds as this group of bikers walk up to them and they're thinking, oh no, and they go, sir, I just want to ask you, do you know Jesus? Yes, I do. Please don't hurt me.
If you died tonight, where would your soul go? Yeah. Died right now.
Oh man.
did have a lot of opportunity to evangelize, and it was definitely Holy Spirit action plan. But in my script, you know, I lightly scripted. I wanted to run into a guy who was pedaling his bicycle across the United States, like I had been, you know, to give the story traction. And we're coming out of San Antonio towards the Big Bend, and we see this guy pedaling his bicycle with a lot of gear out in the middle of nowhere. Obviously, he's trekking it. And so I wave everybody. We screech on our bikes. We pull over, and we run basically right at him. Six of us guys run at him, and then passed him to the bushes to go to the bathroom. And then, yeah. But then we came back, and we met Archie Garcia. And Archie had a bad breakup with a girl, and he was just got on his bicycle and just started bicycling west. And I understood that my bicycle ride was similar to that. It's kind of like when you're in a lot of emotional pain, if you can morph it into physical pain, you can more deal with it, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we went into the Big Bend, which you don't go to by passing through. You got to want to go to the Big Bend. It's, the road gets narrower and narrower. It's kind of like our path to heaven. You know, it's not something you get to by passing through life. You got to really want to be there. But as we left the Big Bend 5 days later, I'm like, you know what? I bet Archie's still pedaling around here someplace. We're about 2.5 hours after we left the Big Bend. I had this thought. And like a moment or two later, come over, Rise, there's Archie. And now we find out that he's actually Catholic. And when we'd stopped him and prayed for him, he began to stop at every Catholic church on his way. And so it's really a beautiful testimony. But the Holy Spirit, you know, had these so many incredible. One of our guys, Jay Flunker, had to turn back when we were just west of San Antonio because he had a motorcycle problem. And I just told him, man, the adventure begins at the detour, and you're God specially chosen you for some kind of adventure. He had to go all the way back 55 miles to San Antonio. We already had a 450-mile ride in front of us, so his was now another 100 miles, you know, to add that to it.
Yeah.
He went back to San Antonio. His bike's getting fixed. He meets someone in the Harley dealership that said, hey, you know what? My wife and I just last night, we talked about how we have to come back to the Catholic Church. So it's just amazing that you would be here, because Jay jumps out and gives him one of his gospel tracks that he created, a Catholic gospel track. And so these sort of godsidences, incredible, incredible experience after experience. It's a reality show that Hollywood couldn't do, because the Holy Spirit created these events for us. All we had to do, the Lord says, I prepared good works for you beforehand that you should walk in them. All we had to do was get on our bikes and roll thunder, and the Holy Spirit just scripted the whole show. So it's actually a real reality show.
And the show is called Long Ride Home. It's on EWTN on Sundays at 11 p.m. Eastern. That's 10 p.m. Central, and wherever else you are, you can figure it out from there.
8 Western.
I didn't know there was Western.
Yeah, I was just thinking.
Yeah, Pacific time.
How come they don't call it that? That's way cooler than Pacific time.
Yeah, and why don't they call Hawaii Pacific time? They call it some other kind of time. So, yeah. But also, they can go to our website, deepadventure.com, and they can find we have YouTube. We have the episode one up permanently, and then EWTN is letting us show one episode for a week as it comes on the air. Then it goes away because they can then buy the whole set from us on our website.
Oh, cool.
Perfect. You can also go to thecatholicmanshow.com. We've embedded the video for your episode one to check it out as well, because we've been promoting you as well.
Okay, Bear, I have a serious question for you.
Yeah.
What are the circumstances and how dire are they that allow for two men to ride on the same motorcycle?
Have to be possibly a nuclear...
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Is it life or death? I mean,
the baddest bikers in the world will ride like that, you know, when they got to, but I've never done it. I never planned to. So I tandem surf with Cindy, and you know, that's where we do acrobatic lifts when we're surfing.
Yeah.
I lift her, of course. And it's so cool to ride with her, you know, with her on the back of my motorcycle. We just had a run today, and it's just the greatest feeling in the world to ride with her. So
okay. So let's get into the man. We got to get into the man
so
gear before.
Bear, we're going to pick up this conversation about the long ride home in the next segment. But let's get to the man gear.
Okay, and this is your man gear, Dave. So I'm going to let you introduce it.
Man gear today is leather work gloves. Okay? The reason we picked that is because the topic is evangelization.
Mm-hmm.
And evangelization is essentially the work assigned to all Christians.
Right. As baptized Catholics, we're all called. Jesus not just asked, but commanded us to go and spread the gospel.
So,
you know, we did a long ride home is I had every guy stand up. This is 2 weeks ago. Look in the camera and say, hello, my name is, you know, Bear Wozniak, and I am a Catholic evangelist. Because everybody is, if you're a Christian.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Totally. So work gloves is like, you know, they represent the work of a man.
Right, and I want to talk about, because at first I almost thought, well, how manly is it?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you get this, like, machismo thing of, like, well, if you're a real man, you just use your...
You get your hands dirty,
you get
your
hands dirty, and you just get, you know...
You lose your skin.
Yeah, right, exactly.
We use gloves, you know, on our ride when it was freezing cold. Trust me, my gloves go up my hand over my leather jacket another 4 or 5 inches because I don't want that wind and that rain going up into the jacket at 70 miles an hour in the rain. So, yeah, if you wear gloves, you're probably doing something pretty tough.
Because being a man isn't necessarily all about being macho and, like, you know, just, like, lifting heavy things and putting them back down.
Right.
Although it can be part of that, but
sure,
but we also are smart.
Yeah,
we're smart and we work smart. So when you're working and you're outside and you're cutting down trees or you're you know, in the process of doing yard work or whatever you're doing, it's smart to wear gloves.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you know, those guys who do wear gloves a lot when they're working with their buddies or whatever you're doing, that's the only place you can evangelizing in the workplace. Is, you know, you get to evangelize more than any priest or nun, that's for sure, in the workplace. And you don't always, you know, and there's a saying, you know, you don't have to, you know, St. Francis said it once, we're going to go in and witness and we only speak if necessary.
Yeah.
Well, everyone knew who St. Francis was and what he stood for, but you and me, we got to talk.
Absolutely.
So you're on the workplace, you're living by example, but you also got to take the ridgelines. We have this scene in Long Ride Home where we're standing on the ridgeline and we're yelling. I'm yelling up to the men, and they're all silhouetted by the sunrise. I'm yelling to them, "Viva Cristo Rey," and they're yelling back, "Viva Cristo Rey." Remember, you saw that. And men need to start standing up, even in the workplace. And just if there's some sort of foul conversation going on, just walk away. But also, don't be afraid to share God's love and His mercy, and say if someone's got a problem, you pray for them.
Yep, I totally agree.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
Dave, I gotta tell you really quick that the work gloves that I have, I gotta share them with you because they're awesome.
Okay.
My wife got them for me, I think actually for my birthday 2 years ago.
Okay.
They're not actually technically leather, but they have protectors around the knuckles on both.
Like, so if you hit somebody, you won't bleed?
So yeah, that way my hand doesn't break. Whenever I hit someone, no, but it has saved me from, because, you know, I've used regular gloves before when I'm like carrying big limbs or things like that, and I've hit my knuckles and they've started bleeding pretty bad.
Yeah.
These protectors are pretty cool. So
yeah. Cause when you're gripping something, it stretches the skin around your knuckles, which makes them a lot easier to, but you know, that's the thing. It's like men need work gloves because the work of a man is not, it's not like we're planting flowers in the garden.
Right.
Okay. It's cause we're chopping trees down and clearing thorn bushes and, you know, like doing hard stuff.
Yeah. Manual labor.
Yeah.
And wear those kind of gloves too. You know, my sidekick, Tony Orban, in season 1, I'd always give him the knuckle punch on his knuckles. And his had the sharp things like you had, and he cut my knuckles on his.
Well, when we get back, we're going to continue talking with Mr. Bear Wozniak. His new book, Way of Heroic Virtue. Go check it out, deepadventure.com. Dave, we are on the Lord's team,
the winning side.
So we're raising our glass of Kona Brewing Fire Rock Pale Ale.
We'll be right back.
Cheers to Jesus.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. Today our man beverage was Kona Brewing Fire Rock Pale Ale. We just got done talking about leather work gloves, and we're going to jump into the man topic, which is evangelization. We have Mr. Bear Wozniak on the phone with us via Skype.
Although you need to do a correction first.
I do need to do a correction. Last break I did say that Bear's book was called Way of Heroic Virtue. It's actually Deep Adventure, Ways of Heroic Virtue.
The Way of Heroic Virtue. Deep Adventure, The Way of Heroic Virtue.
Yes.
And is that right, Bear? Did I get it right?
Well, say it three times fast.
Deep Adventure, The Way of Heroic Virtue. Deep Adventure, The Way of Heroic Virtue. Deep Adventure, The Way of Heroic Virtue.
Boom.
You can get it at deepadventure.com.
There it is. So there's the correction. Bear, we had a chance to actually meet in person this year at Oklahoma Men's Conference. Had so much fun with you. You spoke at the Men's Conference, did an awesome job. We had the privilege of pulling you aside before your talk and recording a little bit of segment for our Council of Men members.
Yeah.
Which was a lot of fun. But Bear, one of the things that I absolutely love
and
about...
And we smoked a cigar together.
Oh, yeah. And we smoked a cigar.
I kind of remember a manly cigar there.
Yeah. Yes. Which is super
cool.
We
were the only guy, we went off to the side. What are you guys doing? We're just... Three of us had the cigars. It was perfect.
Well, four of us. Juan Posada was there.
Yeah, Juan was there too.
Yes. Yeah. We don't want to forget Juan.
Love that guy, man. Love Juan.
Everybody loves Juan.
Everybody loves Juan.
Yeah.
But Bear, one of the things that I absolutely love about, you know, how you're encompassing everything. I mean, there's so many different ways you're encompassing evangelization. But one of the things you do every morning, which I really look up to, is you have on Facebook, you do a Facebook Live, and you're going through the catechism every morning at least 6 a.m. here Central. I'm not sure what time it is for you because
7 a.m.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes it's a little bit different when you're in Hawaii because you're
you know it's whenever I'm normally it's 7 a.m. Eastern, but I just flip. You know, if I'm traveling or something, I just get around to it when I can. So it's kind of like that. But people love it's the best. The people love it because the sun is rising over the ocean behind me.
Mm-hmm. And you're going through the catechism, which is brilliant on your part, Bear, because here's what I think probably happens is that people think, "Oh, Bear, he's so insightful. He knows so much." And you're literally going through the catechism reading it to people. Am I right or wrong?
Yes, people go, "Wow, this was you were on fire today." Pope Benedict, you know, dude, you know. But it is beautiful and you know, it's interesting. At one point we were reading from the catechism and a former Catholic who still loves the Lord, real precious girl. She competed in a world title. She was one of my Tana partners with me. And she said, "Now, is that from the Bible? Where is that in the Bible?" And so for a period of a week, every single quote in the catechism, I gave the reference, whether it was from St. Augustine or Lumen Gentium or Ephesians 2 or whatever it was, and showed them how every single thing, it's basically more quotes, you know, than anything else.
Yeah.
And people have this mistaken thought that, oh, we can't read the catechism. That's ridiculous. They've done such a beautiful, beautiful job. And, you know, I've read through it many times, but I also have the personal practices of just reading one or two pages every day as part of my prayer life. And so this isn't any extra work for me to turn on my iPhone for 15 minutes and do. But they can't friend me, but they can follow me on Facebook, Bear Wozniak. And they can tune in with us in the mornings. It's what's really happened is there's kind of a community of people that are praying for each other and sharing because people share their thoughts mm-hmm. and stuff during that 15 minutes. So it's become a really kind of viral sort of thing.
Yeah. Bear, I'm super pumped because for the last 4 years, Dave, myself, Juan, and a couple of our other buddies, Chad McAuliffe and Scott Bassett. We've all met every Tuesday morning, and we've been going over Pope St. John Paul II's Wednesday audiences of Theology of the Body.
So you're actually reading his homilies.
Yeah.
That's what we've done. There's 129 of them.
There's 139. There's the five missing tracks that if you can find them on Jimmy Buffett's latest album. But basically...
Nice.
But the thing about reading his is obviously he's a scholar when you read his, you know, there's mm-hmm. philosophical terms that you got to look up and understand, but it's nothing like reading his actual words, you know, to get the meat. So I admire that.
Yeah. Well,
we can only do it as a group.
As a group, right? Because there's like, we'll read a sentence and the sentence is almost like a paragraph long and we're like, okay, so what did we just read here? But we're almost done. I think we're at like 122.
Yeah,
we're at 122, so we're almost done. And our next goal, once we complete it, is to start cover to cover of the catechism. So I agree with you, Bear. I think there are guys out there that think that the catechism is intimidating because it's thick. There's a lot of content. There's a lot of good content.
read it like it says it. It says to read it like in contemplative prayer. Mm-hmm. Read it one page at a time. It's, you don't want to. I mean, I've read through it a couple of times just to really get through it. But you want to let it read you more than you read it, right? It's it's a way to develop your theology, get to the root of your Catholic faith, and for it to form you, your conscience and your morality. It's just a beautiful, beautiful book.
Yeah, and you know, Bear, I'll admit, I'm a cradle Catholic, went to Catholic schools. My opinion or my notion of the catechism growing up was that the catechism is a resource book that's not intended to be read. But, and you just mentioned conscience. I read, if you go to, and I don't remember the number, but look up conscience in the catechism. Mm-hmm. It reads like poetry.
It's so beautiful.
It really is beautiful.
And we talked about the concept of what hell is. You know, I have a friend who's an evangelistic atheist, and he always shows me on his iPhone a picture of a guy, a painting of a guy in Dante's hell. Well, the Catholic Church says that hell isn't even a place, it's a state. And it's a state for those people who reject God. It makes it very clear that people throw themselves into hell.
Right. Yeah.
Rejection, the desire to be their own God, basically. And it's a state. It may not even be a place. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, it's the absence of a thing, not the presence of a thing. It's the absence of God, not the presence of suffering. But
he was raised as a fundamentalist and thought, God's going to punish me. Well, you actually, people choose that for themselves.
Yeah.
So they don't understand that God is actually unconditional love. And because of that, the cost of love, the risk of love is rejection. And so God allows us to reject him. And when we do, we get what we want.
Yeah. You know, they say the gates of hell are locked from the inside.
Perfect.
Yeah. But Bear, just getting to know you over the last few months, you to me are just a very evangelical guy. And really what I think it is just your attitude. You know what it is? Tell me.
David, it's because I spend a couple hours in prayer every day.
Yeah, okay, well, this is a quote that we have quoted you on our show before in a past episode, and I'll let you finish it, Bear. But we said you told us when one of the first times we said, you know what we call people who call themselves Christians that don't pray an hour a day? You know what we call those people?
Yeah, I remember. Posers, right?
Posers.
We call them posers.
We call those guys posers.
It's like the guys on the beach in Waikiki who wear the surf clothes, but when the surf's up, they don't paddle out, right? Posers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It says lifeguard on their butt.
Yeah.
Right. You know, Abercrombie and Fitch, lifeguard short. But like, the thing about it is, you know, they're bad. It's a bad advertisement. You know, God, Jesus, I don't know what your Bible says, but my Bible says Jesus said that in Revelations, he had, you know, spit you out of your mouth, lukewarm.
Yeah.
But no, I just think that, you know, the whole key to being fully alive is to be immersed in God's word and to study to be approved, you know, as it says. I spend a lot of my prayer life is just meditative reading, right? Mm-hmm. But as you fall more and more in love with God, it's going to become obvious in your life as the Holy Spirit forms you through prayer, through meditation, reading the magisterium of the church. And then evangelization is just who you are. Who you are, you know, when you give your life to the Lord, when you abandon yourself to God's will, you become more of who you actually are. You don't become less. You don't become some other person. You become more. The sap just rises in the tree. And part of you becoming more of who God really wants you to be is this big tree with big branches that people can find shelter under. And so evangelization, it shouldn't even be called a thing. It should just be a natural overflow from the walk with the Lord.
Yeah, you know, I think that's exactly right, that, you know, you get to the point in your life where you start living the faith. Mm-hmm. And so these conversations just naturally, what'd you do this weekend? Well, the things I did this weekend were faith, you know, were about my faith. And so today, this happened to me today, a guy asked me what I did this weekend. Well, I went to a conference this weekend. And so we started talking about it, and the conference was out at the Clear Creek Abbey, which is a contemplative Benedictine
monastery.
Abbey. Yeah, monastery. And so me and this guy were talking all about the lifestyle of these Benedictine monks and just how amazing it was. And, you know, I could see it in his eyes, you know, that this is something very foreign to him. But he was really inspired by the fact that these 24-year-old men are consecrating themselves to this life of asceticism and permanence and prayer.
And Dave, I think that there's a the virtue of fortitude has to be like exemplified here, because like Bear was saying, you have to spend an hour, at least an hour of prayer a day. Well, yeah. I've heard Bear say this, and I think it's totally true. Spending 10 to 15 minutes is very hard in prayer. Spending 20 minutes is even harder in prayer. After that 20 minutes, it becomes intoxicating. It becomes something that not, oh, I have to do this, but I need this. This is something that I yearn for.
Yeah.
And so, everybody's prayer life is so different. I always ask people about their prayer life, you know. For me, it's the Liturgy of the Hours and praying a rosary while I'm surfing. But everybody can find their own pattern of prayer. Within the Catholic Church, we have a rich storehouse.
Yeah, and we have to be doing that. I mean, St. Paul says, pray without ceasing. So you have to figure out ways of being able to pray throughout the day with the rosary, with the Liturgy of the Hours. The Church has given us so many different things. We're going to keep going with this topic on the other side of the break. Dave, we are on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show, segment numero cuatro. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan. We are joined via Skype by Bear Wozniak.
I didn't know I'd have to speak French like that.
Yeah. That was actually Korean.
Yeah.
It's with an accent, so sounds weird.
It's a little thick.
I thought it was Basque kind of sounding. Weird, unusual accent.
Yes.
Kind of an English accent.
We are drinking Fire Rock Pale Ale by Kona Brewing, product of Hawaii. Mm-hmm. How do you say Hawaii?
You can say Hawaii or you can say Hawaii.
Ooh, Hawaii.
Yeah, V or a W sound.
Last time when we were on your show, you told me my Hawaiian name was Kaviki.
Kavika.
Kavika. I was close. Yeah.
Kavika.
Yeah. Kavika. Nobody calls me that, but I don't know why. I'm trying to get it to catch on. But our man gear today was work gloves, because evangelization is the work of every Christian. And we're talking about evangelization right now. And Bear, you have a show. We've talked about it. It's The Long Ride Home. It's the name of the show.
It's the manliest show on TV.
Easily.
Easily.
Easily. By a factor of five or six.
Is that exponential, wow, say factor, or dividing it by something?
No, that multiplies.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Really manly then.
Yeah.
Off the charts.
Are essentially getting on your Harleys, riding across the country, and bringing Jesus to people.
Well, yeah. You know, I got to tell you something. You were talking about posers last time.
Yeah.
When we shot season two, this friend of mine, Dr. Lance Mackey, we gave him the little thing to do to say, be prepared to be amazed. I said, just keep saying that all through the shoot, you know, and try to show off. And then, you know, because I knew he would fail most of the time. But so his idea was, he was a pursuit vehicle driver on the first shoot. And he goes home, he buys himself a motorcycle, hides it in my son's garage. You know, like the first thing you tell people when they're going to buy a motorcycle is, don't tell your mom, right? Or don't tell your wife. He hid it in my son's garage for a month before he broke it to his wife. And now he's going to ride with us. He wants to be in the show. He wants to be one of the riders. Not, you know, he was in the show last time, Dr. Lance Mackey, but he wasn't on a motorcycle. He was in a pursuit vehicle. So now he wants to ride with, you know what he does?
Huh.
He gets his old Mountaineer tuned up. It has 200,000 miles on it, and he rents a motorcycle trailer. And he says, don't worry, I'm going to be towing it most of the way, but when it's time for us to shoot me riding, I'll get off and ride the motorcycle. And I go, oh, my God, are you kidding me? This is really going to happen. He goes, yeah, this is how I'm going to do it. So we head out from Cocoa Beach, Florida. And I'd kind of coax him along the back road, because he had only ridden like maybe 300 miles in his life, all right? So he used to be an Air Force pilot. He's an OBGYN now. He's super accomplished in theology of the body. But when it comes to motorcycle riding, he wanted to be a poser. So we start riding, and I coax him out on the freeway. We get on Jacksonville. We get up into Georgia, and somewhere around Georgia or North Carolina, the guy driving his Mountaineer, you know, the car broke down. He basically had to donate that truck to charity and get U-Haul to come get their trailer. the Holy Spirit was saying no posers allowed.
None.
So he had to ride all 2,100 miles of that ride, you know. And the other thing about being a poser is, and he will think this is funny, is his motorcycle didn't have a windshield because it just doesn't look cool. Well, he paid his dues, man, when we went from Virginia Beach to Allentown, New Jersey in about 45-degree weather with rain. He paid. So no posers, no bling, no looking pretty. It all has to be real in the kingdom of God. And I think that's part of evangelization, is keeping it real. And part of, like you said, being real in your life is sharing what's really going on in your life as far as your walk with the Lord. You know, what did you do today? People call me, what are you doing tonight? Oh, I'm hanging out with some friends. You should come by. Well, who's there? Well, Augustine and Thomas Aquinas. And Joseph Avila, I'm hanging down here at the beach reading. Why don't you come over, you know? Mm-hmm. Just keep it real. But the natural overflow of your life, St. Peter said it so beautifully, be prepared with a reason for your hope when people ask you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Should have a fair, you know, I wear a fish hook, a Hawaiian fish hook. People ask me, what is that? And I go, what's a Hawaiian fish hook? I'm a fisher of men.
Absolutely, right?
Just a little thing like that. But you can't do something that sounds like a used car salesman. You got to be who you are.
Right.
Absolutely. And I think that goes into, Barry, you know, on your radio show, Deep Adventure Radio, you've actually interviewed our buddy Michael Miley. He's the drummer of Rival Sons. Great guy.
Is he awesome? He's awesome. He's almost as good as you guys.
Yeah.
Almost. Manly, he's right up there.
He's awesome.
Yeah, he is awesome.
One of the other guys that you interviewed that I'm super jealous in as holy way as possible is you got a chance to interview Dr. Peter Kreeft, who
you were gonna say that dude.
You knew I was gonna say that.
I was supposed to interview him about 2 weeks ago. I had to reschedule. Can you imagine me bumping Peter Kreeft?
Oh my gosh!
What is that thing on the Fallon show? They always who's the actor? They always say story. We ran out of time to.
Matt Damon.
Yeah. It's like bumping Matt Damon, dude. I had to tell Peter Kreeft I couldn't interview him because I was extending my trip in Hawaii or something. So I got to get him back in my show. But I was just going through, you know, when I got my place here in Cocoa Beach, Florida, I knew I was moving here when I started packing up my books, right? Mm-hmm. I still have my home in Hawaii, but all of my books are here. And I was re-going through my books and I got Peter Kreeft. He's written what? Almost as many as Louis L'Amour.
60 books. Yeah, I mean, he's written.
Over 7. Yeah, 4 of them on surfing.
Yeah, absolutely. The philosophy of surfing. Yeah, and Dave and I have said in the show that Dr. Peter Kreeft is probably the philosopher of our time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we
Robert Spitzer.
Robert Spitzer is another great one. He's another, he's awesome. Well, Robert Spitzer was a student of Dr. Peter Kreeft. Yeah, he was a student.
Oh, that's very manly to know that.
Yes. And so, Dr. Peter Kreeft is so good at meeting people where they are. He's so good at bridging the gaps of Catholics to Protestants. And you talk about that even in the interview. I mean, you've interviewed him before and you've talked about, you know, just his philosophy of evangelizing. Talk a little bit about the idea of what philosophy, how philosophy plays a role in evangelizing.
By the way, I'm about 2/3 of the way through his book, The Philosophy of Jesus, which is incredible.
Mm.
But, you know, the thing about it is so many of the millennialists, you know, that group that needs the participation trophy, and they're fundamentalists. They're not fundamentalist Christians. They're fundamentalist scientists, you know. I have a friend that was raised as a fundamentalist Christian, and he's rejected that form of Christianity completely. But now he's a fundamentalist scientist. You know, when he was young, he was only allowed to read the Bible. And even all the math he learned was from the Bible. But now he's only allowed to learn from science. He can't learn from philosophy. He can't learn from metaphysics. He's a fundamentalist, you know?
Yeah.
And so the thing about Catholics is that we're actually able to reach out and reach especially this younger generation that thinks it's cool to be an atheist. And we can reach out to them with reason. So many religions have rejected reason. But with St. Thomas and St. Augustine with us, you know, we have faith and reason. And so through reason, we can bring people so close to that jumping off point where they need to have faith in God, mm-hmm. and then understanding who he actually is. But Father Robert Spitzer's quartet of books, his fourth one finally just came out. Beautiful exploration of math and philosophy and physics and psychology and epistemology and everything else you can imagine, synthesizing that so that I could give that book to my friend Crazy Todd. He's the guy that towed my son into 80-foot surf out in Hawaii too. Wow. But I could give those books to him, and it can bring him close, very, very close. It can bring him right to the point where he has to admit that that God exists. And then learning his transcendental, the transcendental nature of his soul.
Yeah.
That you desire truth, that you desire beauty, that you desire justice, that you desire unconditional love, that you desire a sense of being home. Those are all things innate in our nature that don't come from being a biochemical accident.
And, you know, this is our duty to do this. I think there's some people, maybe an older generation kind of had this notion that it's really the priest's job to evangelize. And one time, this is just a story I heard, an old lady went up to the pastor and said, "We need more sheep here in the church." And he looked at her and said, "The shepherd doesn't make sheep. Sheep make sheep."
Perfect.
And she was just like, oh.
Well, pastor can't make sheep. I mean, I don't think pastors have very little opportunity to evangelize.
Right.
Yeah, because they're not outside the church walls.
I mean, really, the pastors are sheep too in some
extent. I got to correct myself before you said Father Robert Spitzer. I was saying Robert Spencer. Robert Spitzer is not a Dr. Peter Kreeft protege.
Okay.
Robert Spencer is, and I just caught myself.
But let me expand on what I was saying just a little bit. We're almost out of time. You know, it's not the 50s anymore. We don't have a culture that is Catholic in this country.
Or just virtuous in general.
Yeah, so that means that it's up to us to educate ourselves. You know, guys, we've got to step up. If the men in this country don't rise up to the occasion, then nobody's going to rise up to the occasion. And I'll promise you, it's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. But you got to do it. You got to do it for the sake of your family. You got to do it for the sake of your wife. You got to do it for the sake of the successive generations that are going to come after you. Because it's now or never.
But you need to form yourself. How can you argue for the dignity of pro-life or the gender issues without understanding Imago Dei or understanding, you know, John Paul II's theology of the body?
Exactly.
That's why it's so important to have a prayer life, to live in a sacramental life, because that grace is infused into you to allow you to be able to continue fighting the good fight and winning the race.
You have to educate yourself as part of your daily regimen.
Absolutely.
Amen. It's like being an athlete. Exactly.
Bear, this has been so much fun. I wish that we had a whole other segment to talk to you, but I appreciate you taking the time to meet with us. You guys got to go to EWTN, check out Bear's new show, Long Ride Home, deepadventure.com, his book, Deep Adventure, Ways of the Heroic Virtue. Man, it's been so fun.
And the Catholic Catechism, 7 a.m. Eastern, just check out Bear, follow Bear Wozniak, and you can watch me talk by the ocean sunrise every morning at 7 a.m. Eastern on the Catechism.
Thanks for joining us, Bear. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Amen. Cheers. Viva Cristo Rey.